This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Ask God to provide what you need, and He may not provide it through the source that you think it should come from, but He will provide it. How do you take care of yourself spiritually? Well, it's really very simple. If you want to stay spiritually strong, you have to feed yourself the Word on a regular basis. And there's no excuse not to. There's too many different ways of feeding yourself the Word. I mean, God has made it so easy for us. You can listen while you're doing other things. You can download it. You can upload it. It's just simple. Spend time with God. Pray your way through the day. Instead of worrying about things, just pray about them. Be conscious and aware of how much God loves you. Watch out for God to do something awesome for you. I think God does so much for us and we don't even notice it. We just think it's an oops or an oh well or an accident or whatever. I keep a notebook and I write down things that I see God do for me. God created us because He wanted somebody to fellowship with. So just talk to God about anything and everything. Being thankful is one of the ways that we can stay strong spiritually. Being thankful will make you happy. And being thankful certainly makes God happy. Don't you imagine that He gets tired of hearing people murmur and grumble and complain after all the good things that He's done for them? God's Word is your spiritual food. Jeremiah said, "When your words came, I ate them. And they were my joy and my heart's delight." Meditating on God's Word is like chewing your food. It's like, what does it mean to meditate on God's Word? Just to think about a scripture over and over, and maybe like to take each word of a scripture and really think about it. Like if you took Psalm 139 about how God created you and how you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and if you took each word and just thought about that. You know, we read the Bible, but what do we really get out of it sometimes? Because sometimes we get this religious thinking that more is better. So we're real proud of ourselves if we, read 6 chapters a day. But what difference does it make if you didn't understand any of it? God would rather you read one verse and get something out of it than to read the whole Bible every single day. Confessing your sins keeps you strong spiritually. Don't hide sin in your heart. You're not hiding anything from God. He knows it anyway. You can confess your sins to God, and sometimes it's even very helpful to have a trusted friend or a spiritual leader that you can also say, "Listen, I've been having a problem with this." And I mean, it's amazing sometimes how that will break a stronghold off of you just to speak it out to somebody that you trust and get rid of it. Taking care of yourself mentally. Let your mind rest. Wow. Some people go on vacation just so they can lay on the beach and worry about what they're going to do with the rest of their life. It's true. I think I'll take the day off today and worry. Two of the main things that cause people to wear out mentally is worry and reasoning. Trying to figure things out that only God knows that He's not telling anybody yet. And there's no such thing as trusting God without unanswered questions. No wonder God tells us to live one day at a time. And especially the times we're in right now, my goodness. How long before we don't have to wear masks anymore? When's the COVID going to be over? Is it ever going to be over? Now they have all these new strains. What's going to happen if I get it? You can't figure all that out. You just say, "God, I belong to You. You created me with your own hand. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My name is written in your book of life. If I died with COVID, I mean, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We need to look at it according to what the Bible says. You don't need to be afraid to die. If you're a believer, wow. I mean, you really probably, I'm kind of looking forward to it myself. And I don't mean that like I, you know, have a death wish, but I mean, wow. What's it going to really look like? What's it going to be like? What's that heavenly choir going to sound like? I want to do a seminar with Moses, and I've been thinking about it. We worry about so many different things, and you know, I'm reading a book right now that is about the mind, and I've written a lot of stuff on the mind, but this is really a good book. And one of the things that the author said that I really like is when you have a wrong thought pattern, let's just say like you worry about money all the time. The first thing you need to ask yourself is, where did this come from? See, like, for example, when I was growing up, nobody did anything for me. I had to take care of myself. Now, my parents gave me a place to live, and they fed me, and they bought me what clothes I absolutely had to have. But my dad wouldn't buy my graduation dress. He wouldn't buy my school pictures. He wouldn't buy my class ring. Anything that was like something special for me. So I have a little more fear of not having enough money than Dave does. Dave was raised, his family was poor. Mine weren't. His family was poor, but he had a mother who taught him how to trust God, and he watched God provide for them time after time after time. Like, one of the things she did was she cleaned homes for people, and a lot of the people that she cleaned homes for were wealthy people. And many times they would give her whole bags of brand new clothing to bring home. Well, Dave doesn't have any fear concerning money. So it's helpful for me to say, where did that come from? Why am I like that? I know a man who has so much fear about money. I mean, like, he won't hardly buy anything except what he just absolutely has to have, even though he has the money to do it. Why? Because he went through a season of real poverty in his childhood. And even though his mother remarried a man that took good care of them, it's amazing how you can get stuck in a mindset. I mean, some people can worry about what people think of them because of one very painful thing that somebody said to them 25 or 30 years ago. So if you're stuck in a worry pattern about the same thing over and over and over, maybe you do pretty good in all these areas, like maybe you don't worry about your kids, but this money thing is a problem. Or maybe you worry about your health or whatever it is. Don't just keep doing it and fighting it and trying to get over it yourself. Ask God to show you what is the source of this. Because if you don't get to the root, it'll just keep producing bad fruit. Ginger asked me the other day if I had anything special in my heart for this year, and I said, yes, take life one day at a time. Such a great example with the manna. God provided their food daily. Just imagine how, what, just, see, we don't think about stuff enough. Think about that. Now, they're out in the middle of nowhere, and all this food comes down, and God says, now, you can only gather enough for today, and if you gather more than that, it's going to rot and stink. And they had to trust God that the next day he would show up again. Come on. It's probably a little harder than we think. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Take care of yourself emotionally. It's not selfish to take care of yourself, it's wise. You say, well, how do I take care of myself emotionally? Well, I mean, some of the things I've already said will help. You know, not worrying, not reasoning. But let's just say that you're a person, and we're all different. Let's just say that you're a person, you need to be around people. One couple that I know, she said, my husband is energized by people and they wear me out. Well, we're all different. So you need to get with God and figure out what you need. And don't feel like you're doing something wrong if you meet your needs. I can tell you my husband needs to play golf. And I'm at the point in my life now where I need for him to go play golf. Amen. Do you know that men need to play more than women do? That's an actual fact. I don't need to be around a ton of people. I mean, that's kind of funny sounding since I've... But I mean, I need quiet time. I need time by myself. Dave and I were talking about what we do when I got home today, and I said, well, for about the first hour that I'm there, I just want to be left alone. Why? Because by the time I finish this, I need some quiet time. And I just want to... I don't want to go right home and start doing something else. So whatever you need emotionally, let's just say that emotionally you need more compliments, more encouragement. But maybe you're not married to somebody who gives you that. Well, find yourself some very encouraging friends. I'm serious. Don't just get mad at the person you're married to because they're not built in such a way that they can give you everything you want. Ask God to provide what you need. And He may not provide it through the source that you think it should come from, but He will provide it. We get mad at people sometimes for not giving us something and they don't even know how to do it. It's not even in their wheelhouse. Maybe they were raised in a family where there wasn't much affection shown. Maybe a guy was and he marries a woman who got a ton of affection when she was growing up. And so she wants all this stuff from him that's just not even, he don't get it. Well, then she needs to pray that God will give that to her through another source. Take care of yourself emotionally. You know, there's a story in the Bible that I think is interesting. It's in John 12, 3 through 7, when Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. Mike, can you come here just a minute real quick? Just so you this makes sense to you. See, they didn't sit in chairs and eat in Jesus' day. Mike is so obedient. See? Now, this was how they ate. They were at tables, and they laid down. Well, she was back here behind his feet. And she let down her hair, which a woman did not do in public. First of all, for her to even be in there, to come that close to Jesus, I mean, like, she was really being radical. Which is the way you get if you love Jesus enough. And, you know, Judas complained, and he said, why did you waste that? Come on, now listen. Why did you waste that? And Jesus said, she has done this in preparation for my burial. You know what I think? This is my own opinion. I think that helped him emotionally. Because see, emotionally, his disciples all went to sleep. They couldn't even pray with him an hour. He was going through a lot of emotional things, but here Mary comes, and she takes perfume worth a year's wages and just pours it all over him. Can I tell you something? Once in a while, you're worthy of waste. You can get up, Mike. Thank you. Mike's so good. Oh, I can do without that. Well, maybe you can, but maybe it's not the best thing for you to do it without it. Don't pay any attention to the judgments of other people. Well, you didn't need that. Well, you don't know what I need. You don't know what my life is like. You don't know what I go through. We've got all of our opinions about everybody else and what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And the bottom line is, you start telling God what you need. You know, sometimes I'll tell God, you know, could you just do something special for me? I just need a surprise. I love my husband with all my heart, but he's not a gift buyer. And my love language is gifts. I love to give them and I like to get them. But that's just not what he does. He'll go out and shop all day and bring home shirts and jeans and shoes and, you got anything there for me? Nah. I figured if I bought you something, you'd just take it back anyway. I said, I don't care. But that's just not him. So I spent years getting mad at him. There's no point in that. It's not the way God's put him together. He's got a lot of other great gifts, and he'll do anything for me. He's very much with acts of service, which is my second love language, so he's still got in there. But if you're not getting something from somebody else that you want, ask God for it. It's okay for you to ask God for something special. God, can you do something special for me? I've just written a book called How to Age Without Getting Old. And so that begins with taking care of yourself when you're young. I really hope that people don't look at this book and think, I don't need that, I'm only 20. Well, that's exactly when you do need it, when you're 20. I wish with all my heart that somebody would have written this book 30 years ago. And I would have read it and paid attention to it. I could have avoided making myself sick 3 times. I could have avoided some of the things that I still deal with because I work too hard. Because of being abused in my childhood, I really tried to get a lot of my worth and value out of my work. I didn't know any better. I had nobody telling me the things that I'm telling you now. And yes, I went to church. There's a handful of things, if you do them now, not hard, that will make a whole difference for you as you get older. First of all, don't start thinking old. I'm so old, I can't do that anymore, I'm old. No, you're aging, but you don't have to get old. Old is a mindset, age is a number. And we all know, because I tell it all the time, I'm 77, soon to be 78. Still going strong. Yes, I get a little tighter than I used to. I need more rest. I have to say no to more things than I used to. But I am not old. Amen? Don't start thinking I'm too old to do that. Simple things, let me just tell you. Get enough rest. Learn how to say no when you need to say no. Get 7 to 8 hours sleep every night. Well, I don't have time to do that. Well, you'll either take time because you choose to, or eventually you'll be forced to. Amen? You can't do the same thing all your life. You have to be making changes all the way along. Drink lots of water. Eat healthy foods. Don't be excessive with sugar, caffeine, different substances that aren't good for you. Get plenty of exercise. Move, move, move. You've got joints because you're supposed to move. Make an investment in yourself. You know why? Because you're worth it. You have tremendous value. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Come on, let's give God a big praise.
I really love Joyce's teaching on this subject. God's amazing creative power never fails to amaze me. And it's so good to actually take the time to think about it in our lives, both in the way He designed us, as well as how much He values us. And when I say us, I want you to hear you. That's so important. What Joyce is talking about is for you. And it really is something to celebrate. We want to help you today to live a life that you love. I don't know if you realize this, but in the Bible, it tells us that God came so that we could have and enjoy our life. And it isn't something that is for someone else. It is for you as well. Joyce has a book called Living a Life You Love, and it is going to walk you through all the amazing things that the Bible says about how to do this. And with that, you're going to get this great little set of declaration cards. They're called Speaking with Purpose declaration cards, and they come with a little holder so you can set them on a desk. You can have them out where you can see them all the time, and it will remind you of what God's Word says about you, who you are, and also be a great catalyst for you to read those out loud, declaring them over your life every single day. So pick up this resource. I believe it will make a difference in your life. Now stay with us, because Joyce will be back with more teaching about God's good plan for our lives and how even our troubles can be used for our benefit. That encouraging word is next.
God has an amazing plan for you, and you can learn how to love your life in spite of the obstacles and challenges with Joyce's book, Living a Life You Love. In this book, you'll discover that loving your life really begins with loving God, and how to see each day as an opportunity to serve Him and to pursue the dream He's put in your heart. And because speaking God's Word out loud is so important, along with the book, you'll receive these beautiful Speaking with Purpose declaration cards, featuring 32 positive declarations based on Scripture on the front and an accompanying Bible verse on the back. These resources are available today for your gift of $30 or more. Just visit us online at joycemeyer.org or call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673.
Puts a nation to sleep.
For over 20 years, Dave Meyer has shared his passion for America and the importance of learning our rich godly heritage. Now in his very first book, Freedom is Costly but Priceless, he explores who and what has made this country great and how we can pass our freedom on to the next generation. To get your copy today, go to joycemeyer.org or wherever books are sold.
What you're going through right now will pass. It won't last forever. And if you go through it with a good attitude, which is a challenge, but if you get the grace from God that you need and you go through it with a good attitude, you will come out a better person on the other side than you were when you went into it, and you will have a stronger faith, which means that God will be able to do even more through you and even for you than He can right now. I've been through a lot of rough times in my life. If I told you some of the things that, I mean, I look at my life now and I think, how can anybody get from there to here? But I just want to tell you that God is so faithful, and He will never give up on you if you will just not give up on Him. This room is full of great stories and great testimonies of things that people have gone through, terrible things, and here they are alive and well. And I know many of you may be thinking, well, I just don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can make it. Well, remember all the other things you didn't think you'd make it through, and here you are. You survived. Amen. And it's not how you begin that's nearly as important as it is how you finish. And the fact that you didn't get a good beginning in life doesn't mean that you can't have a great finish and a great ending. And if you trust God, every bad thing that's happened to you, He'll use it to make you stronger, and He'll actually use it not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of other people. My father sexually abused me. My mother did not know how to deal with him. She was afraid of him, and so she didn't do anything. I married the first guy that came along, And, you know, desperate people do foolish, desperate things. And I was afraid nobody would ever love me, so I just took the first opportunity that I got, knowing really inside it was dumb and wasn't going to work. But like I said, desperate people do desperate things. And I was 19, I was 18, he was 19. I mean, we weren't very old at all. Neither one of us knew anything. And we certainly didn't know what love was. And so he abandoned me several times in other places, took me to California and left me there, took me to New Mexico and left me there. And here I'm 18, 19 years old and didn't have anything. Had to call somebody I knew to get a bus ticket to come back home on. And he was always with other women and writing bad checks and stealing stuff. I mean, it was just a five-year nightmare. So after going through an 18-year nightmare at home, I did not need another five-year nightmare on top of that. But that's what I had to deal with. And finally, toward the end of our marriage, I got pregnant with my son, David. My husband's name was not David, but the man I've been married to for 50 years, his name is David. And it amazes me when I see David's pictures in some of our missions videos and stuff, because he handles all of our world missions. I see it up on the screen, David Meyer, CEO, Hand of Hope, and I think, only God knew. Only God knew. When I was 9 months pregnant with him, I carried all my babies real late, and so they were all like 3 and 4 and 5 weeks late. I thought I'd never have kids. And I actually had to go live with my hairdresser and her mother because I didn't have a home anywhere to go. And he had left me and was living with another woman. And when I came out of the hospital with my baby, I didn't know where that I was going to go. So I wasn't like on the street homeless, but for all intent and purposes, I didn't have a home. And I had to live with just whoever would take me in. Now, who could ever look at my life now? Come on, I'm trying to encourage somebody. I'm doing this for your benefit. Who could ever look at my life now and think that I ever went through those kinds of things? But I tell you what, our troubles are not God's fault, but he is the answer to all of our problems. And if you will follow him, walk in his will and walk in his word, God will bring you out of the messes that you are in, and he will set you in a high place and bless your life and do amazing things for you, with you, and through you. Come on. So whoever you are tonight, whether you're here in this building or maybe you're watching by TV and you're just kind of at your lowest point, you just don't know what you're going to do. You just feel like you're going to quit and give up. I want you to know that God sees you. He has his eye on you. And he has a plan in place for your deliverance. And all you need to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other and just simply make your mind up. I will not quit. I will not give up.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.